Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, really just the beginning of verse 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Last week we talked a little bit about that idea of if, it's since ye are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. If you study death in the Word of God, you find a lot of what appear to be conflicting statements. For instance, how can it say, for ye are dead, and then it says, mortify or make yourself dead? Well, I thought you were dead. How can you make yourself something that you already is, right? It's kind of hard to do. Well, what I'd like for us to do tonight is look at what I've entitled our mortal mission. 1966, there was a television show that came on. It was entitled Mission Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. I'm not endorsing the show, okay? 120 of those episodes ended with a message something like this: this message will self-destruct, right? How many of you knew only 120 episodes of them did that? How many of you thought all of the episodes ended that way? They don't, all right? There's some other ones that say some different things. But anyway, I didn't know that till this week, by the way. We have an impossible mission. We could call it a mortal mission, if you will. All of us will face death one way or the other. Everyone in this room, you're like, well, wait a minute, Pastor. It's possible that the rapture will come and I won't have to face death. Sorry, you still have to face death. Right? And that's what we're going to look at from the Word of God tonight. The various kinds of death and how they apply to us. Some of them are positional, one time, if you will. Some of them are things that we have to actively participate in. So, now that I've got your interest peaked, because some of you are looking at me like, I don't know where he's headed with this. Good, I'm glad that you're thinking tonight, all right? Here's the main thought. You must actively die to self and be alive to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful work the choir and drama put in today. And Lord, as they embark on a journey that'll be well over 3 months, we pray for that time in December when we'll invite thousands of people to come to this cantata and hear the gospel once again. We pray for every amount of labor that goes into it, not only for our enjoyment, I certainly enjoy it, but we pray for the parade outreach and all those things that will come, and we begin that tonight. And we look forward to seeing the results of that in the future. And for tonight, Lord, we pray that we'll listen attentively to your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want to move rather quickly tonight, again, to try to get you out of here a little bit early if we can. Number one, I want us to see a punishing death. A punishing death. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin brought death into the world. This is really important to understand. Death is a result of the fall. Remember, death was brought on by sin. Jesus brings life. Satan doesn't bring life. He only brings destruction. And people say, you know, why did God do such and such to take my loved one? Whoa, time out. God didn't institute death. That came as a result of sin. Satan instituted death in this world. 1 John 5 and verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And we're not going to get into the debate about what that is tonight. My point is, there is a punishing death, and that is sin brings death. And you would agree with me, whether you're saved or lost, the more active you are in sin, the more likelihood death's coming quicker. That's just the truth. Most of you in this room are not likely to be shot in a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning. Are you? Because you're not in a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? Some of these guys making millions of dollars, athletes, and, you know, they're just like, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm like, yeah, what are you doing out at 3 o'clock in the morning? I don't know what happened to me. You're out at 3 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of drunks. What did you expect to happen? People who smoke and people who drink and people who take drugs and people who, you just fill in the blanks, are more likely to see death quicker. There's a punishing death. Praise the Lord that Jesus brought life. Number two, there's a powerless death. I love this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, it says this, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and more immortality to light through the gospel." So Jesus created light. He created life. Satan introduced sin into the world. Of course, man chose to do so. Death came into the picture. What did God then counteract with? Jesus Christ to conquer death once again. What a wonderful Savior. When we get all upset about him, he introduced life, and he introduces re-life, if you will. And in between is squeezed this scuzzbag we call the devil. And yet we want to blame God for death. Death was caused by the devil. He introduced that into the world. But I'm so grateful that death can be conquered by a relationship in Jesus Christ. Doesn't have a sting anymore, as it's lost that when we look at Christ. I love the fact that when he was in the tomb, I can imagine, as you understand, Satan didn't know the future. He thought he had won. Thought he had the victory. We eliminated the seed. I've been working for thousands of years to corrupt and intimidate and get rid of this seed, only to find that the very thing he thought was his victory was his final defeat. There's a powerless death. But number three, there's a positional death. A positional death. That is, in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, and we've spent some time the last few weeks talking about that. We no longer have to obey sin, right? We now have a choice. You and I can now say, you know what? No to sin and yes to life. Romans chapter 6 makes that very, very clear. Romans 7, follow-up of chapter 6, Paul says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" His answer was what? Christ. That's who's going to deliver me from the body of this death. So there is a positional death that we have. We've been made alive by Jesus Christ, and this gives us a choice now. Positionally, we will, if you will, never die, but positionally, we're already dead. Can I say that again? Positionally, we will never die. We're going to last forever. And we're going to be so with Christ because of a relationship with him. But positionally also, we're already dead. Dead to self. We'll get to that in just a moment. Then there is, number four, a permanent death. A permanent death. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." One day, there will be no more death. Jesus Christ has abolished that as well. Aren't you glad that you don't have to do what Brother Don did yesterday and attend another funeral? I don't have to do that anymore. For most of us in this room, maybe not everyone, but for most of us, we have loved ones that are already there. Yeah. Some that perhaps we've really never met. Some of you may have maybe even mothers or fathers that father that died before you were born, or maybe I've known of some whose mother died at birth, or grandparents, or I have a sister that I never got a chance to meet that's in heaven. And those people we're looking forward to. I've got some other wonderful people there that I'm looking forward to meet. Pastor Caleb's grandfather went home to be with the Lord this week. And I thought about as he was playing the piano this morning, I thought that's kind of the first time he got to see him play in this building, that piano. Maybe this morning the Lord let him enjoy that. I know we could argue about all that, but we won't get there. Just let me enjoy my fun anyway, okay? So there's a permanent death. That is, death will be completely abolished. Now that is wonderful news for us, isn't it? It's not wonderful news for another group of people. Because death is going to be abolished. We do not believe, nor does the Bible, which is helpful for us to match up with the Bible, that souls are just going to be annihilated. They will forever live, but they'll forever live in punishment because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. So for us, that's wonderful news. It's not so wonderful for those other people. And then don't get real excited about this, but the last thing is, there's a progressive death. Now, here's where we're going to spend a little time, just because I said last thing. That's why I told you not to get excited. You're all looking at your watches going, wow, you did mean get out early. Just calm down. We've still got multiple subpoints to go here, okay? The progressive death. Now, all those other things are theologically true. They're wonderful truths, and many of them impact this truth. But here's where the work lies. That is the progressive death. You and I have a responsibility to die and to do so continually. And that's just hard work, isn't it? I mean, anybody like dying to self? Most of the time, that's not our problem. We're very much alive to self, right? But dying to self is something that the Bible tells us we must do. So, let's look at a couple of things as we research some scripture here. Number one, I want us to see the slaying of our flesh. The slaying of our flesh. In this passage of scripture, it tells us that we're dead, for your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists all these things. So, in other words, he says, I want you to make dead or to kill those members that are on the earth. Okay? Now follow me here. What members are on the earth? This. Okay? Us. This is the... You are on earth, right? Don't get spooky on me like, you know, you're somewhere else or whatever. We're here on the earth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what's God saying? But you say, well, wait a minute. I thought we were positionally already dead. We are. But just because you're positionally there doesn't mean you're practically there. So this is where I have to work. Now, the joyful news is that before, I could not mortify the deeds of the flesh. I could not slay self because I didn't have the power to do that. When salvation came, then there was the power to say no to my flesh. Before, I couldn't do that. And you say, well, I mean, I was a pretty self-disciplined person before I got saved. You may have been, but you still had a sin problem. You say, well, Pastor, are you telling me that I can live sinless? Yes. What are you looking at me for, Ethan? Theological discussion in the dorm tonight. In other words, follow me here. Do I believe in sinless perfection? No, I don't. But I can tell you we have the power to daily say no to sin. Therefore, we could live a sinless life. You're like, huh? I know you say, well, what's the problem? The problem is we got a flesh. The problem is there's a war going on inside of us. And the truth is, flesh wins that battle, doesn't it, sometimes? Matter of fact, we know that the flesh is going to win. And by the way, so does the Lord. That's why he gave us provision to take care of that. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knew that was going to happen, but you understand, if you believe that you don't have a choice but to sin, now you got a theological problem. So now what are you saying? Some external force is making you sin? Now you're no better than the people in the world who believe that someone commits a crime based upon where they were born or all those kind of things. That's not true. It's choices that we make. Every time you sin, you make a choice. You say, well, it was just kind of default mode. It was still a choice on your part. And yes, your default mode is sin. That's our problem. But Christ has made it possible for us to no longer live in sin. And that's a wonderful truth, but boy, sometimes it's just a struggle. The slaying of our flesh. You ever get sick of the flesh? If you don't, you're probably not doing a whole lot of slaying of it. Because it's a constant battle. And about the time you think you just got that one area absolutely whooped, and you're like, man, yeah, I think I got victory over that one. No, something else pops up over here, you know, and or in some cases, okay, there's four of the things I got to work on. All right, so let's try. That's because we've got a flesh that's constantly fighting. But number two, not only do we see the slaying of our flesh, but we see the sacrifice of our fancies. That is, our own desires. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In other words, God says to us, okay, if we're going to live a life of death to self, one of the things we're going to have to do is get rid of what we want. Just got to totally get rid of it. Lord, doesn't matter what I want. Let him come after me and deny himself. Again, that goes back to, do we like to deny self? We've got our own ambition. We've got our own goals. We've got our own set of lists. And God, I'll do what you want me to do as long as it doesn't conflict with what I want to do. It doesn't work that way. We have to say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, whatever it is. And how that plays out is totally up to him. I'm not going to murmur about it in the process, right? That's where we have to be. Our daily choice must be to take a cross, a death to self, and follow him. He says, take up this cross daily. By implication, it's got to be done over and over again. Don't you wish that we could make that decision? I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. And boom, from then on, you didn't have to worry about it. Every choice you made was the right choice. But that's not how it works. It's a constant battle. And tomorrow morning, you may have had victory over some things today. And boy, you had a great day. And you're like, yes, Lord, thank you for that victory today. And tomorrow morning, you get up and guess what? You don't even have to put it on. It's already there. That old flesh sitting there. I'm so tired. Really? The alarm? 5:30 in the morning? Classes? Watch the murmuring. And your flesh is saying, you could probably squeeze in another 45 minutes of sleep if you skipped your Bible time. And after all, I'm going to get plenty of Bible today anyway. And I can listen to the radio and get some Bible. Maybe. Depending on what radio station you listen to. Maybe I could squeeze it in. And you know what? The flesh is working on you. You haven't said no to it now. There's the sacrifices of our fancies. Let her see the substitute by faith. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Here's the dichotomy again. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So faith enters this picture. Of course, we know that faith is how you got saved. But faith is also how you live. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't do it unless you're living a life of faith. And so every day, I crucify myself with Christ. Yet I'm alive, and I'm alive because Christ is alive. Again, that's part of the argument of Romans chapter 6. You have been buried with him. You're also alive with him through Jesus Christ. But it's all by faith. Nobody in this room have ever seen him. You're functioning totally by faith. None of you have ever met a New Testament writer or an Old Testament writer. You believe this book by faith. You believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was the Son of God, lived, died, and rose again, all by faith. You believe he's coming back to take you to heaven, all by faith. And the longer we proclaim that message, the more crazy we sound. He's what? The Bible tells us that will happen. These choices are made by faith because they make no other sense. I'm not saying faith is illogical. Matter of fact, Lord willing, this fall and Sunday evenings, we're going to do a series of apologetics. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be some technical things at times, but I think it will help you to be able to defend your faith. I don't believe that our faith is totally illogical. I think it's very logical. But there is an element of faith. It is for them too, by the way. They don't believe evolution because it makes the most sense. Nor is it really science. They believe it by faith. That's the only way they can believe it. So when they say you're illogical, you know, I got pretty good proof that there was a orderliness to creation. And what do you have? Bang! Really? I don't know about you, but it makes more logical sense to me what I believe, you know? But we'll get into the apologetic series later. I said that was going to be later, right? So we'll get to that a little bit later on. So substitute by faith. Number four, a sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, to be full of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. I protest by rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? And this is 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul's making the argument of a resurrection. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We cannot produce fruit unless we're buried. Being buried means we have to die. So there's a sowing to be full of life. We sow ourselves so that others may be full of life. I wish we had time tonight to walk through some stories. Matter of fact, we don't even know them all, of Pastor Caleb's grandfather and the countless lives he impacted. Stories that I've heard in the few short years that Pastor Caleb and I have been together, and I've mentioned to you Wednesday night that we've met people. Oh, your grandfather sat with me, and he did this, and he encouraged me, or he, you know. 50 years in Suriname alone, 10 years in the Congo, but he had to die to self. He had to be willing to be planted so that fruit could spring forth. And that's what we have to do. It's not easy to do that, but we must do it. Are you willing to die to be made alive? Dying to self is made possible because of the relationship with Jesus. But we must daily make choices to tell this old flesh, no. No. You don't get your way today. I know that's what you'd rather do, but no. Can't have it. I know you'd rather do that, but no, that's not pleasing to God. And I now have a choice. Because of the Spirit of God that's quickened me, I now have a choice about it. But it is a battle, isn't it? And in fact, it's a battle that can only be fought with supernatural enablement. It's the only way we can get the victory, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. You try to battle the flesh on your own, you're in trouble. You just can't do it. And in fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 15 that if we don't abide in Him, we can't produce fruit. Without Him, ye are nothing. You're worthless without Him. So, are you going to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth? It's a daily opportunity for you to do that. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have made us alive after we died in you. And what a blessing that is. And we may physically one day die, but again, you're going to make us alive, and we'll be alive evermore as we spend eternity with you. May we say no to our flesh. Oh boy, that's a struggle, a constant battle to say no to the flesh. But may we do so, because you've given us the ability to do that. We sure love you. Thank you for your word to remind us of these truths. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, just quickly, are you dead to self? When you walked in here tonight, is that the case, or was your old flesh struggling, fighting you? Fighting maybe even to listen to the Word of God, or fighting this morning because you'd rather sleep that extra time, and on it goes. Fighting when you want to snap at the one you love the most across the table from you, or towards that child, or whatever it may be. Will you make the choice to mortify your flesh? It's something we need to do. And say, Pastor, I really need to do that. I need to be active in that. I realize I have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes I don't appropriate that. And I just need some help. Would you pray for me? I'd love to do that tonight. Just slip up your hand. That's me. I'm struggling in some of those areas. Wonderful. Thank you. Several hands. Praise the Lord. Someone else. I struggle sometimes with that. Father, thank you for these hands. We pray now that you would speak to hearts. We thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.